My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Welcome to Bustin' Balls. I'm Pat Caputo along with the webmaster, Evan Jenkins. The Red Wings offseason has moved on. They had their developmental camp, down at the Belfer Center. They have had an NHL draft in which they took Michael Brandzig Nygaard in the first round, Max Plant in the second round, OG in the third round. So this is what the Red Wings have done so far. And in the offseason, they signed Vladimir Tarasenko, a veteran player, and Gustafson, and lost a couple guys that people are like, oh, and they gave up a second-round draft pick. So where do we pick this up, Evan, with the draft? First of all, Michael Brandzig Nygaard, who we talked about quite a bit on the day. One thing about the Red Wings, we always get their draft pick.
Yeah.
We're really good at getting the Red Wings draft pick right. I think the only time we didn't get it right was Nate Danielson. We had Marco Casper. We had Raymond. We had pretty much – oh, Moritz Seider, I don't think – but I don't know if you were doing the podcast yet when Moritz –
We weren't doing it then, yeah.
So we've had the Red Wings draft pick every year we've done it except for one. And we mentioned Brandzig Nygaard quite a bit last week. He was a consensus pick for the Red Wings by a lot of people. Everything kind of fit into why they would take him, and they did indeed take him.
You know what I liked about their draft the most, Pat, and this is just from a hockey novice that lives here in the great state of Michigan, is that they took, what, three kids from the developmental team?
Right.
I really like that. The reason I say that is I see that these kids usually trend to become pretty decent NHL players. And they're right here in our backyard, so you've got a great time to actually go and scout these kids.
Well, obviously, but now they're going to have to fly to Minnesota to look at a couple of them because they're going to the University of Minnesota.
Yeah.
In Plant and Whipple. They got a guy named Whipple, Mr. Whipple, Jack Whipple, the defenseman who they took in the fifth round. I think it was it's hard for me to gauge on what they did later rounds. I know this about Plant because I've seen him play a lot, and Whipple. I've seen him play a lot because they were on those U.S. developmental teams.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not overwhelmed with those guys, but where they were taken in the draft, they seemed to be good value, especially Whipple. You know, he hasn't put up a lot of numbers, but he looks like he's got some skating ability. And watching him in the 3-on-3 tournament, I thought he was pretty good. So that was pretty good value, fifth overall. And Plant is skilled, a very skilled player who has to fill out a little bit in his body. All right? I mean, if he played in the, at AHL level right now, he'd get knocked around like crazy. But he is somebody that I think ultimately could fill out. His father was an NHL player, so he'll know how to train and how to go through all those things. And Minnesota, for both those guys, is an elite program. There's some skill there. With those teams. Andre Becker, he is somebody that played in the Western League, their third-round pick. who didn't get a lot of hype about the draft, like, hey, but he scored a lot of points in that league. And he's a player that could be kind of a sleeper at third overall. He plays both center and wing. Plant, the good thing about him is he's a center iceman with skill, and he should be able to carry that through professional hockey if he develops. So for the most part, you know, looking at their draft, I like it. Branzig Nygaard, I would say to you about this, he's a Norwegian kid, the first Norwegian kid ever taken in the draft. You've heard that over and over again. But he plays in Sweden. He plays at a very high level of hockey. He's going to play there. I liked what he did skating-wise, both in the things that I watched leading up to the draft. And again, that three-on-three camp, which is kind of cool, or three-on-three tournament they have at their developmental camp, because they're skating in open ice and you can see their skating ability. I liked what I saw there. He's a physical player, and they'll keep their eye on him there. The only question I have is, did they pass on a couple players? You know, there are a couple players that could come back and do the piston thing to them. You know, like when they took Stanley Johnson and Booker became great, or they took Luke Kennard and Donovan Mitchell turned out to be great. There could be some of that. They took Killian Hayes, and it turned out that Halliburton was great. There could be some of that with the Red Wings here, because they passed on Cole Eiserman, who's got some big-time scoring skill and was projected as a top-five pick. Now, they're not the only team that passed on him, but they did. And if he breaks the way he possibly could, where he becomes a big-time scorer, and if Nygaard's just okay, there could be some question about that. I also liked Hage. I talked a lot about him. These guys were taken shortly after he was taken. So looking at this Michael Hage, that could be what determines their draft. But in the bigger picture, and this is something we talk about, the Red Wings are doing just fine. I don't understand the angst about the Red Wings. Evan, again, we do this podcast together, and one of the great things about you is you look at the bigger picture. I'm always looking at the tree in front of me because I'm so into it. The bigger picture is there's a lot of angst about Eiserman, and I don't quite get it to the degree. I mean, it's almost like the fact that he's the captain of the Red Wings and this big hero in this town has been weaponized against him. And if somebody says, hey, Eiserman's doing a terrific job, it's like you're a jock sniffer or something. And I don't feel like that's the case at all. I mean, I think he's done an excellent job with the things that we talk about on this podcast. Why is that, in your opinion?
Okay, so I think that's a loaded question, but I think I have some answers for you. I think, one, the success that the Red Wings had for, 28 straight years making the playoffs, having that...
25, but that's close.
Okay, was that the Spurs that went 28 years? Something like that.
Yeah.
So they go a quarter of a century, basically almost my entire life up until that point. So I think you have a lot of fans that had the expectation to where the Red Wings were just going to be in the playoffs, okay? I think then when you bring in the addition of Steve Eiserman to where you saw what he did with Tampa, you thought that it was going to be an easier transition than what it was, even though Ken Holland was very, very clear with fans saying that this rebuild was going to not be overnight and it was going to take years and years and years in order to do. But I think a lot of fans thought that Ken Holland was a bonehead. They didn't agree with what he was saying. They also didn't agree that that rebuild should take that long. So now Steve Eiserman takes this job, and he's going into year six. I think fans, just by osmosis, I think by the name of being the captain of Steve Eiserman, seeing what happened in Tampa while he was there. Now, he also had two great players when he took that job with Tampa.
Correct.
That you could use the whole Jim Harbaugh, was he born on third baseline? And I think that it was a perfect storm of fans expecting the team to make the playoffs because of the history. And then the captain coming back, basically quitting a Stanley Cup ready-made team in order to come here, maybe making fans believe that there was more here than what actually was here. And I think it's just based on those expectations that seeing Steve Eiserman, I think, to a lot of fans meant instant gratification when that wasn't going to be the case.
Well, he never had any illusions about it. He, the first thing he said was, hey, you know, I'm not a miracle worker here. Something right. along those lines. I'm paraphrasing. I think there's a lack of understanding about how it works in hockey.
Correct.
You know, and I find some of the narrative about Yzerman to be alarming from that standpoint. I was listening to a show on our station in which a caller called in and said, he hasn't drafted anybody in the time that he's been here. I'm like, he hasn't? I mean, do you understand that Lucas Raymond and Moritz Seider at their age group are among the best players in the world, and arguably at their position, Seider is.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Is the best in the world in his age group. Excuse me.
Can I ask a question about that real quick with Lucas Raymond? And we're going to kind of cross sports with this question, because I heard a couple guys in the Cuber saying the other day that Lucas Raymond was expected to take this huge jump next year, because look what he did at the end of the season this year. And I instantly said, isn't that what we were expecting with Spencer Torkelson? You saw his end of the year. He played really, really well. You expected big things coming into next year. Is that a good correlation?
No.
Okay. And why is that?
Spencer Torkelson is a one-trick pony.
Okay.
As a baseball player. He either hits or he doesn't. If he doesn't hit, his value is still it's going to be low. It's going to be low even if he hits, because he doesn't do anything else. Raymond is a much better all-around player in his sport than Torkelson is.
Okay.
He's got some grit. He can make players around him better. And he's also flashed at a higher level in his age group than Torkelson did. I mean, he's very young. And arguably the best forward in the world at his age or younger. Now, there are some that, you know, like Bedard or whatever, that could pass him. And, you know, Stützle has been very good. But he is a player that is potentially a big-time star. There's much more of a probability that Lucas Raymond will be a star than Spencer Torkelson.
Well, good. I'm glad I got to ask that question.
Same with Moritz Seider. Moritz Seider is a defenseman. These are two players that there isn't a team in hockey that wouldn't want them.
Okay.
You know, the only difference is it's not like the Tigers, where people are saying, just go trade them for a boatload. Both these guys, they're going to sign long-term here.
Right, okay.
And, you know, and the Red Wings, the reason I talk about Yzerman this way, they're much further advanced than the Tigers. So when we cross boards, and like, or the Pistons, much further advanced from them. They had the same amount of points as a team that got into the playoffs in the last spot last year. They have a nucleus of two players in their prime, and Larkin and DeBrincat, who are potential 30. Well, they scored, you know, over 30, 40 goals in the case of DeBrincat in their careers. They're just entering their prime. They're in their prime now, and they've got two of the best players in the world in their early 20s, in Raymond and Seider. And they've got a number of different pieces around them. And their pipeline is way better I mean, way more predictable for success than what it is for the other teams. So, and Yzerman, when he came in, he inherited a lot of the Ken Holland, hey, it's going to take 10 years rebuild, you know, bad contracts. They were still paying on the cap last year for Justin Abdelkader. So, you know, in hockey, there's not a lot of wiggle room with it. So to look at where the Red Wings were when Yzerman came in compared to where they're at now, it's like night and day. Their foundation is so much better. Now, I understand the angst about not making the playoffs. What I don't understand, and they should make the playoffs this year, that's a reasonable expectation that everybody should have, and it'll be profoundly disappointing if they don't. And it would help them along a great deal in their progress. But the players that they've taken in the draft, it's not like the NFL. You only know after 4 years in the NFL, you know whether the guy deserves a second contract. In hockey, you're just starting to figure that out. And they had a lot of progress last year at Grand Rapids. And this is where people are like, I don't want to get too geeky or whatever. I don't want to know. Marco Kasper could push for a job. Kosa's already pushing for a job. Whether they want to or not, and they really don't want to put him in there, but he may make the decision for them that way. And somebody like Simon Edvinson, if you were to look at like the Hockey News' top 50 prospect, the Red Wings have 6 or 7 guys in there. Mm-hmm. All right, so it's their farm system or their player development system is what it is in hockey, is loaded. And that's before you get to Augustine and some of these guys that were taken recently. And so it's like, for example, they don't have a second line center. You know, ideally Compher's a winger on your third line. But you might see somebody like Kasper push for that, or even Nate Danielson, because they've shown a lot at a young age.
Do you think, so if going into next season they don't make the playoffs, that will the scapegoat be Derek Lalonde? Is he still the right guy?
Without question. Without question. He, I think he probably would have gotten sacked if they did not have that big flurry at the end of the year. For 2 straight years, that team has been in position to do something, especially last year. That playoff spot was sitting there for them. There was, and they were better than the teams that they were competing against, the Islanders and the Flyers, and ultimately the team that got in, Washington. They were a better team than those teams, and they didn't do it. So, you know, why? And it's going to be the coach. Steve Yzerman isn't going to go anywhere. That's the other thing about Yzerman on the hot seat, nor should he. So I find that narrative to kind of be kind of bizarre, but I understand it to a degree. And the thing is, too, Evan, it never bothers me, you know, even though some of the things are unfair or maybe not half-truths or whatever that are put out there. Some, and again, it gets to, I'm always looking at the tree in front of me and not the whole picture. And, but, you know, it doesn't bother me. The teams are being held accountable. I mean, how long has it been since they've been in the playoffs? I mean, really, you should have the expectation that the Red Wings get into the playoffs.
Right.
But there's a difference between that. And I always use the word micro and macro. Macro-wise, the Red Wings are in great shape. All right, great shape. They're going to be a good team. It's just a matter of when. And a very good team, maybe a cup championship. And I mean that. But, you know, what's micro here? You know, it's wasting year after year is pathetic. Mm-hmm. All right? You know, you want to watch the game on a Tuesday night in January. That's it, you know?
Now, let me ask. I got one more question. This goes kind of back to what we started with. You mentioned the 3-on-3 tournament. Why the hell do they do a 3-on-3 tournament, not 5-on-5? I understand it. You might say lack of players, but like, imagine like the NBA Summer League, they just play 3-on-3 games. I was just curious about that.
Well, I don't know. I honestly don't have an answer to it, other than maybe you just see the players get a chance to touch the puck more and an opportunity, and it creates more scoring situations, so you can see what the goalies can do better. That type of thing. I would guess that's why.
Okay.
They would do it. I know from watching it, and I'm really thankful to the Red Wings, because I can't get out and go down there like I used to because of my personal situation. But I would say I'm thankful they put it on there because, you know, you get a real good gauge on what these kids are like competing against one another. So,
and you get to hear your buddy Ken Kalk call the games.
Yeah, Kenny on there. Hey, with Daniela, they do a terrific job. You know, Kenny calls it like it's the Stanley Cup Finals, man.
I know, it's awesome.
He can't get out of that announcer mode. Once you put Kenny in the announcer mode, woo, it's great, man. So, but anyway, enjoy doing this podcast. Like us, download us, subscribe to us, all those different things. Thanks to Evan. You're great on this, and we'll talk to you next time.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.